This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pynchon, and I'll be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on January 25th, 2013. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are vascular disorders, traumatic brain injury, and vestibular schwannoma. The failure of preoperative ethylene vinyl alcohol polymer embolization to improve outcomes in arteriovenous malformation management, a case series. A clinical article by Michael Karen Morgan and colleagues. Brain arteriovenous malformations, or AVMs, are abnormal tangles of blood vessels that can burst and cause catastrophic bleeding. For some AVMs, the best option is to operate. For larger AVMs, this is usually preceded by gluing at the time of angiography to reduce the chance of surgical bleeding. This procedure is called embolization. Recent innovation in the glue with ethylene vinyl alcohol polymer, known by the trade name Onyx, is thought to be more effective. However, this procedure is time-consuming, expensive, and has risks that can be quite serious. The authors examined whether there has been more effective embolization in terms of safety and the prevention of serious bleeding at surgery since the introduction of Onyx. The authors found that its use has not improved their surgical results, and as a consequence, they abandoned the use of preoperative embolization in mid-2008. The authors have had to make some changes in their operative strategy to compensate for the absence of embolization. However, the addition of the complications of embolization did not appear to be commensurate with a greater reduction in operative complications, and the discontinuation of embolization appears to be appropriate. Temporal trends and volume outcome associations after traumatic brain injury, a 12-year study in Taiwan, a clinical article by Hongyi Shi and co-authors. This population-based patient cohort study retrospectively analyzed 16,956 patients who had received surgical treatment for TBI between 1998 and 2009 in Taiwan. Bootstrap estimation was used to derive 95% confidence intervals for differences in effect sizes. Hierarchical linear regression models were used to predict outcomes. Patients treated in very high-volume hospitals were more responsive than those treated in low-volume hospitals in terms of length of stay and hospital cost. Patients treated by very high-volume surgeons were also more responsive than those treated by low-volume surgeons in terms of length of stay and hospitalization cost. The mean length of stay was 24.3 days, and the length of stay for very high-volume hospitals and surgeons was, on average, 61% and 64% shorter, respectively, than that for low-volume hospitals and surgeons. The mean hospitalization cost was $7,292, and the average hospitalization cost for very high-volume hospitals and surgeons was 19% and 22% lower, respectively, than for low-volume hospitals and surgeons. Advanced age, male sex, and high Charlson comorbidity index score, treatment in a low-volume hospital, and treatment by a low-volume surgeon were significantly associated with adverse outcomes. These results improve the understanding of medical resource allocation for this surgical procedure and can help to formulate public health policies for optimizing hospital resource utilization for related diseases. Prevention of postoperative cerebrospinal fluid leaks with multi-layered reconstruction using titanium mesh hydroxyapatite cement cranioplasty after translabyrinthine resection of acoustic neuroma. A technical note by Sunil Manjila and co-workers. Surgeons have tried several surgical methods to prevent cerebrospinal fluid leakage after translabyrinthine resection of acoustic neuroma. The authors present an improvised technique for multi-layer watertight closure using a titanium mesh, hydroxyapatite cement cranioplasty, in addition to dural substitute and abdominal fat graft. This surgical strategy has met with success in each of the 42 patients who underwent translabyrinthine resection of acoustic neuroma at University Hospitals Case Medical Center from 2006 to 2012. Systematic closure of the surgical wound in layers was performed in each case using temporalis fascia, dural substitute, dural sealant, adipose graft, titanium mesh, and then hydroxyapatite cement. The titanium mesh provided a well-defined anatomical dissection plane that made reoperation easier than working through scarred soft tissue. The mesh bolstered the fat graft and kept the hydroxyapatite cement out of direct contact with mastoid air cells, thereby reducing infections. In addition to an excellent cosmetic outcome, postoperative imaging confirmed excellent bony contouring and dural reconstitution. There were no cases of postoperative cerebrospinal fluid rhinorrhea, incisional leak of cerebrospinal fluid, or meningitis. This cost-effective technique utilized only a third of the hydroxyapatite cement required for traditional closure, thus reducing the chance of foreign body-related wound infection. Intraventricular silicone oil, a case report by Chi Chen Chang and colleagues. In this article, the authors report the characteristic imaging findings of intraventricular silicone oil. Their patient had been treated with intravitreous silicone tamponade for retinal detachment resulting from diabetic retinopathy. 10 years after that treatment, she presented for evaluation of headaches and dizziness. During the next 6 years, 2 CT studies and 1 MRI study were performed. The studies showed that the silicone gradually migrated from the left orbit into the ventricular system. The silicone oil appeared as high-density nodules floating in the ventricles on CT and was associated with prominent chemical shift artifacts on MRI. The authors note that intraventricular silicone oil can be misdiagnosed as intraventricular hemorrhage and that neurosurgeons should be aware of this phenomenon. Thank you for listening to the Journal of Neurosurgery. The Journal of Neurosurgery mobile app is now available. You can find it in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook.